Hello and welcome to the Outspoken Beauty Podcast. I'm Nicola Bonn. I'm joined by Rachel Jones. And this episode, we're talking all about facials. So in this episode, we're talking about the ultimate luxury, a facial. The most relaxing, lovely treatment that you hope to leave looking absolutely amazing, particularly if you just spent £100 on one. We're going to be joined by one of the most famous facialists in the world. She is the lady who makes Meghan Markle sparkle. Sarah Chapman's going to be telling us all about facials. She's also got some fantastic skincare techniques that you can employ at home to get facial results. Later in the episode, Rachel goes on a big adventure and has her first ever facial. We're going to hear all about that. And I'm going to tell you about one of the weirdest but most effective facials I've ever had. So facials for me are one of life's little luxuries. I have a facial to treat myself, or maybe I'll go with the girls and have, you know, for hen do's or something like that. But I've never been able to afford to have a facial every 4 to 6 weeks, which is what is recommended to have really good skin. I wish I could, but I can't.
I'm one of those people that can't afford facials. It's not a luxury for me. It's past my price point. I've never had one up until this episode. But before that, I'd never had one. I'd never think about having one because they would never be in my grasp for me.
The thing about facials is that there are cheaper ones you can have, and you'd probably go in and they do, you know, a bit of massage. They'd use a face mask, quite simple stuff, and you go away and your skin will look nice, but it doesn't necessarily last. The hardcore top-end facials that are going to cost you hundreds, I think they're the only ones that make a real difference to your skin. So in a way, facials are only there for people who can really afford them, which is a shame. And that's why I think it's really important to learn the techniques to help you achieve that kind of thing at home. And that is doable.
And I think now there are ranges where you can basically have your own facial at home. You get your products, You've got your techniques, you know what to do, and it's almost like having your own facial. The only different part about it is you just have to do it yourself.
I do think, like, if you every month you really put aside half an hour to an hour, got all your treatments, lit a candle, aromatherapy oils, and really went for it, I think it could become a really enjoyable part of your routine, and it could make a change to your skin.
And I think if you and, say, a friend did it, you could do each other's.
That's nice.
You've got your own little facial salon in your own home. What more could you want?
So we've got the queen of facials, Sarah Chapman, in the studio. Whenever I see you, Sarah, your skin always glows. So I think you're the perfect advocate for what you do.
Oh, bless you.
Yes,
thank you
for joining us. So we're going to talk a bit about facials, because that is just, I mean, you do so many things. The thing that interests me most about you is, unlike many people, you've got the science background, you've got the skincare background. You know your stuff. You're very trusted. Tell me a bit about the science part. Like, what training did you have in cosmetic science?
I worked with skincare for a long time, and I trained in cosmetic science. So literally on my course, it was people who worked in laboratories at Coty's, the Body Shop. So people that were really formulators. So I learned an enormous amount of that on cosmetic science, on the actual formulation. How do you read an inky list? How do you create an emulsion? The difference between oil and water, water and oil emulsions, what you need to do to work with those to get the right textures. But also about science itself, because I think skincare has moved on so much. It's no longer the botanical, beautiful, traditional French skincare, which is what we really used to have, yep, the skincare from France and Switzerland. It's really much more now about combining that with real modern technology and so much research. So I trained in cosmetic science, and I also worked for different skincare companies, and then also have the sort of flip side, which is the hands-on facial side. So Putting all of those things together gives a real understanding of why we're creating a product rather than just being on the formulation side. So it's great to have that combination.
Right, before we get into this, I need to ask, are your hands really insured for £1 million, or is this just gossip on your website?
It's true.
Oh my God.
It's true.
That's amazing. So we've got to be careful of your hands today. Now, I want to talk to you about facials. How regularly, look at my skin. I mean, I'm 38. I think it's pretty good. I do have a few wrinkles, but say I wanted to sustain a nice, healthy glow, have those smaller pores and have that look of a flawless skin. How often should I be getting a facial?
We would always recommend every 4 weeks. So once a month you should have a facial.
Okay.
And that's because we want to work with the skin cell cycle. So it's around about 30 days. It's actually a little bit longer, but for your cell turnover to happen. So if we do it less than that, we're trying to catch up each time.
Yeah.
If we can treat skin every 3 or 4 weeks, we can actually start to build on what we do and improve it. Whereas if we see you maybe only every 3 months, everything is sort of slowed down again. And what we've done, we're almost starting again. So we would see people every 3 to 4 weeks. If you have got a skin issue that you're trying to treat specifically, whether it's acne or pigmentation or super sensitivity, or you've got something like a wedding coming up or a big occasion, we would see you once a week.
Once a week.
Yeah.
And you say you should do it every 3 weeks. Are there a finite amount of treatments, or is this for life? Should we be having facials every month for life? I mean, obviously money is a huge factor here, but if you could afford it, is that the perfect scenario?
I think if you can afford it and for you it's something that means a lot to you, then absolutely, yes. I mean, I've got clients that I've been seeing every month for 15 years.
Amazing.
And they will continue. As they're now sort of in their 60s, they'll continue doing it. They look great. They feel great. They often say, you know, I see my friends and, you know, they look good, but their skin isn't like mine. And I know it's because I've looked after it all these years. So a lot of people see it as a kind of insurance for the future.
Yeah.
And that makes them feel better. You know, so much of it, again, is about that sort of self-confidence and how it makes you feel. So I think there is so much to a facial. It's not just the actual scientific skin treatment. There's actually a huge amount of well-being around a facial.
Yeah.
And some people come and it's the only time they put their phone down and switch off. Some people find that it's just really therapeutic for them. It's relaxing. It helps them to sleep if they have sleep troubles. So there are so many elements around it, aside from just the pores and the skin.
Do you, when you see someone, do you gauge what they need according to mood as well as the state of their skin?
Absolutely.
Really? So you might give a more kind of massagey facial for a stressed person?
Absolutely.
Really?
So all our facials are bespoke. So we have lots of machines, lots of techniques.
Because I had a facial, one of your facials years ago, and I just had everything. They were like, let's try everything on you. And I remember walking out going, wow.
Right. Sometimes somebody will walk in the door and something's going on in their life and they're really tired and they look really stressed and they'll tell you something, or you can just see it in them. Then I don't want to go in with needling devices and things that are slightly more uncomfortable to have. You actually want to ground them, relax them, or they might have a massive occasion coming up. And actually what you want to do is center them and ground them, do a lot of facial massage, which releases all the tension, but also works on all the nerve endings. In the face and on the scalp, there are so many nerve endings that actually just working on that part of the body relaxes everything. So quite often we'll do that. And then there are other people that just want all guns blazing facial. Give me the microneedling, I want the radio frequency, I'll have the LED, everything.
Yeah.
I just want a real deep treatment today. I haven't got anything on for a few days. I know I've got time for my skin to recover. So it really depends. And we'll make them bespoke every time somebody comes.
That's brilliant. And it is that feeling, do you think after, if you do go in all guns blazing, will you see an instant difference in your skin afterwards? I mean, and is it, can that one facial have an effect? If say somebody couldn't afford to come back every month but just had a one-off, could that make a difference?
Yeah, you will definitely see a difference. And depending on what techniques we use, but even from a hands-on facial, you'll see a difference. If we're doing something like microneedling with the stem cells and peptides, you'll see a more prolonged difference to the skin.
Yeah.
And it will be more so. The difference will be bigger than if we're just doing hands-on because we're using technology. But you will definitely see a difference from just one. And we do sometimes have people who just come for one as a treat. They've been given it as a gift. And that's fantastic. And those treatments, we will tend to make more hands-on and really give that person a sense of enjoyment rather than too much needling and everything else, unless that's specifically what they want.
And obviously, I mean, the people who see you have got money because it's not cheap. There are a lot of much cheaper versions. And is there anything for somebody who doesn't have the budget to have an expensive facial? Is there anything people should watch out for? Because I know with all the machinery available, I worry that people are using it without being licensed or having the right knowledge. Can things go wrong?
Things can go wrong. Yeah, I think for me, it's really important that you go to somewhere that is reputable. I've seen lots of places that buy their machines from China that haven't got regulation. They buy them there because they're £5,000 instead of £40,000. There's a reason why. It's different technology. It hasn't been tested. It might not be safe. It could burn your skin. So I think if you're having something which is using this kind of advanced technology like lasers or IPL or fractional skin resurfacing, you need to go to somewhere that's reputable.
And how do you know?
And if you can't afford to do that, don't do it at all, I would say.
Okay.
And how do you know? I think you have to research. Nowadays, it's much easier. Look for reviews online.
Yes.
You can see real reviews from people. See what the... Go and see the place if you've never been before. Have a look. Is it clean? Is it hygienic? Does it have the right sorts of products? Do they look like they've got a whole mishmash of products that have sort of come from little wholesale suppliers, or do they have a brand that you recognise?
Yeah.
Because then they're investing in their product. You can ask to see the machines. There's nothing wrong with that. Or you could go for a facial first and not have one of those treatments and understand the therapist's knowledge. I mean, you mentioned at the beginning just now about our facials are expensive.
Yeah.
We're talking about the price of facials. But you're really paying for expertise and skill set.
Yes.
And it's a bit like if you say you were going to hire a chef for something. You could take someone who's just finished at college and pay them £10 an hour. I'm pulling these numbers out.
Yeah.
Or you could have a Michelin star chef and pay them £1,000 an hour. Well, the difference in what you get is quite,
of course,
astronomical. And that's where the pricing sort of sits.
Yeah.
So our therapists, we invest a lot of money in training them. They already come to us very trained, but then we give them further training. We're constantly training. We don't buy machines that aren't the top level of machines. There are actually a lot of machines that are made in the UK, which also means that you can get good service, backup, and real professionalism.
Yeah.
But Israel is a place that's actually creating a lot of the beauty machines that are the best quality.
Do you know, Israel are always at the forefront of things like this, aren't they?
Yeah.
So again, if you see an Israeli product,
it's likely to be a good machine. They have a lot of technology in Israel. So I think it's research.
Okay.
Before you dive in, it's doing your research. Now, there's nothing wrong with going somewhere and having a £50 facial that's a kind of a massagey facial, because all massage is good for your skin.
Yeah. But, people pay for that because it's nice and you get the beautiful smells and the relaxing vibe.
Yeah. So if that's what you want from your treatment, then that works fine. If you really want some what I would call skin treatment.
Yes.
Rather than a facial, then you need something more.
I was going to ask you, I know obviously we're not going to be able to talk about your celebrity clients, but what does it feel like getting that close to some of the world's most famous women? Do you ever get embarrassed, or is it just you're just so used to it now?
I have got quite used to it now, strangely, but it's a strange thing, because actually once I get going in a facial, I'm looking at the skin.
Yes.
But at the beginning, obviously, it's amazing to meet these women. And I have met some hugely influential women, some very famous clients. And sometimes I almost tell myself halfway through the facial, oh my gosh, this is so-and-so. Because I'm just looking at every pore and everything on their face and trying to work on that. So, but I have to say, I'm very lucky that I have a great relationship with them all.
A very intimate relationship, actually, because you're talking about, the way they look, their skin.
And also for some of my sort of high profile clients, whether they're actors or whatever it is, their face is actually very important, because they will be judged on it. And if they're on massive cinema screens or TV or just constantly photographed, their face is so important, as is their hair and things as well.
Yeah.
But it is really important. So for me, it's an honour that they trust me then to look after that for them. And I build a very long-term relationship as well, partly because we never really talk about people. I'm very discreet about who we treat.
Absolutely.
Over the years, there's so many people that I've treated that nobody knows. And I think that's really important, because actually I'm there to give them a service and to look after their skin. And sometimes it comes out and sometimes they'll talk about it. And that's really wonderful and very kind of them. But it's really about actually looking after their skin and treating them.
Yeah, like being a doctor in a way. Mm. But it's almost like being an artist too, because you're making, when they're on a big screen, that's your work.
Yes, and it is lovely to see when you've treated somebody and then there's photographs everywhere and you're looking and you think, oh my gosh, their skin looks amazing. And that's a really nice thing to see. It's very satisfying.
Yeah.
Sarah, I can't get you in and not ask you about skincare because you know everything about it. Let's actually discuss, what is the perfect routine to your mind? What for a woman who wants to look glowy, do a bit of, well, I call it pro-aging, but, you know, just kind of make look at youthful. What should they be doing every night? They get home from work. What do they do?
Cleanse their face.
Double cleanse?
Double cleanse, preferably.
With
especially
what?
Especially if you're in the city. Double cleanse with, for me, generally an oil-based cleanser.
And oil, even if you have oily skin?
Absolutely. Yep. It will help to regulate your oily skin, and your oily skin will get better and improve. So never to be afraid of oils. Naturally in our skin, our sebum is like an oil, and it solidifies, so it gets trapped. And actually, when you use oils, they can fall through the lipid pathways in the skin a lot better and sort of almost liquefy things. So you can just pull out any kind of dirt, pollution, blocked pores. So for me, that's the best way to cleanse. So I would say that you kind of get home, you do a cleanse, and then you can do a second cleanse. If you want to use a different cleanser for each step, you can do, but you don't have to.
Are there any benefits to using two different cleansers?
It depends. I mean, I also have a cleanser which is clay-based, so it's much more kind of drawing, really pulling out sort of blackheads and impurities, and it's quite energising and zingy. So lots of people use it in the morning, but there are some people that like to use that as a second step because they just like the feeling and the sort of tightness and cleanness of the skin afterwards.
Do you like a hot cloth to remove?
Yes. Yeah. We have little flannel mitts.
Yes.
But exactly. Yeah, something that really removes it without scrubbing but that will take everything off. Now, I do have so many people that say to me, oh, but by the time I get to bed, I can't be bothered.
Yeah.
I'm tired, or I've put the kids to bed, or whatever it is. So I get them to change their routines. They get home. And most often you say to somebody, what do you do when you get home? Well, I change out of my work clothes and I put my sloppies on.
Yes.
Well, that's when you do your cleanse. Because if you do it then, you haven't got to think about it later on.
Yeah.
And people come back and they're like, I cleanse my face every day now. So it's just about, actually, it doesn't have to be when you brush your teeth. It can be before. Find a time that works for you. It's actually quite therapeutic. You're just taking off
the
all
day.
Of the stuff from the day,
yeah.
which is really good, and you feel fresh and clean.
I love it. I love cleansing. It's my favourite. Okay, so you've
Do you
cleansed.
Massage with your cleanser?
I do. Yeah. I do. I really, it's for me, it's really important. I have two young kids, but literally the minute they're in bed, I'm like, right, this is my time. Go away, husband. I am going to do my cleansing. And the whole ritual for me is my moment, you know, my relaxation moment.
Yeah, which it should be. It shouldn't be a chore. It should be like that. You should feel like that. So you have to find a product that makes you feel like that.
Yes.
So maybe for you, it's a smell thing. Maybe it's a texture thing.
Yeah.
Maybe it's everything combined. But if you find that product, when you do your cleanse, and if you can do some massage, we always use our knuckles like in a loose fist and really work into the skin so it feels alive. You feel really good afterwards.
Some people say that buying an expensive cleanser is just like throwing money down the sink and you might as well use any old thing. Would you agree with that?
No.
Are the ingredients getting into your skin when you're cleansing?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, this is. I think this thinking has changed. I think if you'd asked me that question 10 years ago, I'd have said absolutely agreed with you.
Yeah.
Because cleansers were pretty basic and you used a toner because you couldn't wash your cleanser off properly because the formulas weren't sophisticated enough. So you used a toner, which was actually to remove the remainder of the cleanser, which doesn't really make sense.
Yes.
So now it isn't like that. Cleansers are so much more sophisticated. You can wash them off. You don't need to use a toner. A toner is a waste of money. If you're using a product which is got some mild acids in and you're using it more as a resurfacing liquid or something like that, great. But don't just use a basic toner to take off your cleanser. Wash your cleanser off properly and get one that you can wash off. So actually, if you spend the money on the cleanser, you're not buying two products, a cleanser and a toner. And they will wash off and you shouldn't feel residue. You know, there are some oil balm cleansers that I've tried and you are left with a waxy feel.
Yeah.
You don't want that. You want it to feel clean afterwards. You want it to emulsify properly and to come off properly. And then you don't need to follow with a sort of toning step.
Yeah, but not feel tight. That's the worst thing after a cleanser.
Because there are, some gel cleansers and foam cleansers can really strip the natural oils.
Yeah.
And particularly people who've got an oily skin or combination breakouty skin will tend to lean towards those because they're afraid of oils or something creamy. But then their skin produces more oil because you know that feeling when you've washed your face with something that's quite strippy. dripping and it feels really tight.
Horrible.
Desperate to put moisturiser on. It shouldn't feel like that. That isn't right. Now your skin is going to go into overdrive, produce more oil, and your oiliness will then get worse, which is why a sort of oily, creamy product is actually going to work better for you.
So we've done our lovely cleanse, and what's the next step? Do you recommend an acid at this stage? Do you like acids?
Yeah, it depends on the skin.
What kind? I mean, for a general, would you say glycolic is something that would work for most skin types?
I actually prefer lactic
acid. Oh, do you? Why?
Yeah. Lactic acid is the only acid that has a hydrating and exfoliating benefit. It's very mild, has an incredibly brightening effect on the skin. It has a molecule size that's much more easy to control. Glycolic isn't very easy to control, so can cause quite a lot of reactions in its penetration.
Yeah.
So lactic is a much gentler, milder, but very, very effective acid that you can put on most skins, even if they're a bit sensitive.
If you are using an acid, can you then use a form of retinol, or should they not really mix?
You can. Yeah, you can. It's going to be stronger.
Yeah.
The acid's going to sort of remove the glue between the dead cells on the surface. So whatever you put on top is going to penetrate better, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
And so if it is a retinol, if it's a retinoid, it's going to absorb quicker, so it may cause a bit of reaction.
So
it's just about, again, listening to the skin and being cautious with it. I would have no problem doing a peel and then putting on a really high strength vitamin A, but I've used vitamin A for so many years. So if you're coming to it from using cold cream, not that you would, but just a basic cream, then maybe you need to take it just a little bit slower.
So we've done our acid. What next? We're talking nighttime, by the way. What next? Because, well, you know, there's a complication. Should we use a serum? Should we use, you know, the traditional nighttime moisturiser? Should we use a treatment? When and where do they go in the routine?
I mean, for me, the simplest way to think about it is cleanse, serum, treat, and your treatment is your moisturiser.
Okay.
So if you always cleanse and then you put a serum on and then you put your kind of moisturising or oil-based product on, that's your three steps.
Okay.
So I think people got so sort of indoctrinated in the cleanse, tone, moisturise.
Yeah.
It's a bit, the easiest way for people to think about it is drop the tone and think serum.
Okay.
Because this is now the better way of thinking. And in your serum, you get so much more actives. So you can formulate a serum completely differently to a moisturiser because it doesn't need the kind of barrier protection.
Yeah.
It's designed to absorb. So we can carry in tons of hyaluronic acid for moisturising, more peptides, more vitamin A, all the things that really we know are going to get in and change things within the sort of cellular layer. So your serum almost is so important, more so than your moisturiser in a strange sort of way.
And if you were doing a treatment, just a retinol, is that instead of your serum?
Or
Wow, so, it's a minefield.
But it isn't really. If you just think of those steps, you always want to clean. You want to clean off the day, clean off your natural oils and everything.
Yeah.
You then want to put a treatment serum type product on. That could be a hydrating serum, it could be a retinoid, it could be a peeling product for the night, and then you want to put on the product that's going to nourish, condition, and that could be an oil like overnight facial we talked about. It could be a night cream if you prefer, like a thick night cream. And those are the steps. So it's actually not that difficult. But then you do have to put in an eye cream.
Oh, do you think they're important?
Yes.
Do you? Yeah. So many people don't. I'm really naughty. I'm so naughty with eye creams. I just don't use them. I should. I know I should.
I think it's if you needed to not use something, you could use your serum up around the eyes, depending on what it is. But the tissue around the eyes is so thin. It's like 0.2 millimetres. It's the thinnest anywhere. And you can see if you put like a really thick cream on, and it starts to build up under the eyes, that's when you get puffy eyes. And
Which I get the whole time.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, because you're not using an eye cream.
I know.
I met a plastic surgeon years ago, and he said every time that I do under eye bag removal, a huge percentage of what's in there are creams. And it's where people have used stuff that isn't specifically formulated for the eye, so it's too heavy.
What, he actually finds residue in...
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
That's actually disgusting.
So
it
as
just
you
stays
take out,
there.
Yeah.
I know when I've used something that isn't right on that area, I wake up and my eyes are so puffy. So I know it's bad. Oh, okay, eye cream. Sarah, thank you so much. I could talk to you for days
because I want
all this information, but that is brilliant and I have learned a lot. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so it's time for our beauty challenge. And Rachel, you had the nicest challenge ever this episode.
I think so. Well, you know, when I go to drastic measures as getting Botox, I think it's quite nice that I get to do things and have facials.
You had your first. Was your first facial a
ever.
Treat?
It was my first ever facial.
I can't believe that. Tell me everything.
So I didn't really know what to expect. I thought I'd be in there for hours. And I was in there for 45 to 50 minutes.
How many hours were you imagining?
I don't know. I just always imagined facials took about 2 hours. Like, and I thought I'd be led with a hot cloth over my face for a long time.
Oh.
So, yeah. It wasn't that at all. But it was very relaxing, very calming. I came out of there feeling like I could conquer the world. I don't know if facials are meant to make you feel like that, but that's how I felt. So I actually went to Shantikai in Phoenix on Bond Street.
Very posh.
But I walked in and instantly there was music playing. The lights were dim. There was a very nice scent in the room of roses. It was lovely, absolutely lovely. My therapist was Kat. She was absolutely lovely. She was telling me everything about Shantikai itself and what the facial was. So I actually went and had the detox facial.
Yeah.
And it's a purifying treatment, ideal for problem skin, i.e. perfect for me.
Yes.
So the reason I wanted to get a Shantikai facial was because they don't really have any bad things in their products. It's all very natural.
Yeah.
They're cruelty-free as well, which is a big bonus for me. But they had like no synthetic fragrances, colours, sulfates, detergents, anything like that in it.
Did they, when they were doing your facial, did the products have an aromatherapy smell to them? Was it a pleasant smell or was it?
Yeah, it was actually. It was quite a pleasant smell. I think because it was my first facial, I wasn't really focusing on the smells. I was focusing on what she was doing.
Yeah.
So she used like quite a few different things. So cleanse my skin, exfoliate my skin. And then because I do have blackheads, she then steamed my skin, did an extraction of the blackheads.
Do you know that I have a real thing for extracting blackheads?
Oh, do you know what? I like it, but it was a little bit painful.
Yeah,
and I was like, of course it's going to be painful. She's getting all the blackheads out of your skin. So when she got rid of all my blackheads, she then popped on a little mask. I don't really understand facials because I thought you just led there for 2 hours with one mask on your face, or they'd do something and then they'd put this mask on and you'd be there for about an hour. No, not the case at all. After I'd had my
extraction,
she then popped the mask on and I was like, it's sit now. It was like a clay mask. I was like, it's sit. This is me for about an hour. I'd say it was about 10 minutes.
But the thing is, how would you have felt being there for an hour with a mask on your face?
I was relaxed. I was having a lovely time.
Did you get a hand massage?
Yeah.
Yes, love it.
But one thing I am not a fan of is body massages. Well, I am a fan of them, but I just really don't like people touching my shoulders and digging too deep.
Did she?
And she was. And she was like, you're very tense, aren't you? And I was like, yes.
Don't touch me.
I really didn't want to be rude and say, please, can you not? Because, you know, I wanted to experience it for what it was.
That's such a thing that I think anything like that, intimate, like a facial or a massage, I get really shy. And I'm not normally shy, but you don't want to say anything, even if someone's hurting you. Like I had a
wasn't hurting me. It was, I get really uncomfortable with it. And I just don't, it's just the part where my neck and my shoulders meet. I'm like, oh, don't touch it there.
Yeah.
And because she was going quite in, she was like, oh, you are tense. I was like, yeah, that's because I'm tensing up because I don't want you to touch me.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to go for it and have the full experience of it all.
What did your skin look like afterwards?
So she told me that I was going to break out. I've got problematic skin anyway, so I was probably going to break out and get worse almost before it gets better.
Yes.
So I had it done in the afternoon, and then by the evening I'd broken out. Mm. And I'm not one to leave a spot. So obviously I had a little pick, a little dig.
Oh dear.
But the day after, I came into work and everyone, I'm not even exaggerating this, everyone I saw was like, you got new foundation on? What have you done? You're glowing. Like you've got glowing skin. And I was a bit like, oh, have I? Oh, I had a facial yesterday. Like, oh, right. I look great.
You were gifted this facial.
Yes.
For the podcast, very kindly.
Very lovely of them.
Would you spend money on a facial again? Would you do it once a year, once a month? What do you reckon?
I don't know. So this is difficult. So that facial would have cost £95.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'd spend £100 on a facial.
No.
Because that's just me. Now, Kat did say to me that if I was... So if you want to keep seeing results, if you want your skin to get clearer, you should get a facial every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks?
Yeah. And then she went, or once a month.
Yeah.
But for me, I think if I got a facial once every 2 months, that would probably... I would get one, but it would be every 2 months.
Okay.
But I would... I don't know. For me, I don't know if anyone else is this, but £95 for me is such a lot of money.
Do you know what? I think it's a lot of money for anyone. And you've got to gauge it. It's whether it's worth it in the long run. For me, I would spend a lot of money on a more perhaps medical, technical facial.
Yeah.
I think a facial like that is a gorgeous treat, but the long term...
Absolutely. Because it's a treat, I think, yes. And do you know what? I think if I had clear skin, I would feel completely different. Because I've got problematic skin, I instantly want a facial and I want to see results like by the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
It didn't clear up my skin instantly. I think I wanted instant results.
Of course.
As you do want that.
Yeah.
So I think if I had not problematic skin, I didn't break out quite a lot, I think I'd have a completely different attitude, in the sense that I would want maybe a facial to be a bit more glowing as a treat. Something like that.
But I get it. I get that if you've got acne and a facial's not going to clear you of your acne, then I get why you'd give up maybe.
Yeah.
But out of 10 for the whole thing?
Oh, the whole experience was probably about a 9 out of 10.
Nice. I'm glad you've had it. You deserved it, Rachel.
The only reason why she's missing that 1 point is because it didn't go on for 2 hours. I was expecting it to be 2 hours. But otherwise, it was lovely. It was a lovely experience.
So to finish off the episode, I've got a recommendation for you. Now, this was the weirdest facial I've ever had, but it is one you could really recreate in the comfort of your own home. So I had a facial years ago and I cannot for the life of me remember who did it, which is not a good start, but just hear me out on this. I went in there and she used totally natural products. And when I say that, it started off with having grated carrot on my face. She covered my face in carrot and I looked like a salad. She then used an avocado face mask. She recommended using olive oil as a cleanser, strawberries, which have got salicylic acid in them. It was the weirdest thing. And I was laughing while I had it done. It ended, though, with some acupuncture, which I was petrified of because I don't like needles, but it worked a treat. The minute those needles were in my face, I felt a release. I felt the tension going. And I finished the facial, looked in the mirror, and I was absolutely glowing. Now, the reason I'm mentioning this facial is because it really inspired me to change what I do with my skincare. She says that every month she recommends a detox. So you give up all your serums, your moisturizers, all your expensive beauty items, and you go totally natural. So you just use nature's own products, avocados, strawberries, as I said, olive oil. Do it for a week. And I swear you'll see a difference. It's a really nice way to completely detox your skin using natural, trusted products.
Do you do it?
Yeah, I do. Not every month religiously, but if I find that I've been, because I'm testing products the whole time, if I find my skin is just tired and looking dull, it's had enough, I'll revert to using some natural products for a while. And it really does work. It's really good. Milk is really good, full of lactic acid. There are lots of things you can do. So I really recommend it. I don't think you should use them the whole time, but if you just need a bit of a break, you detox your body internally, do it on the outside too. So I think we have loved doing this episode. Rachel, you got your first facial.
Yeah, it was lovely.
And it was really interesting to talk to Sarah Chapman, because the thing I like about her is she's a scientist as well as being a therapist. And I really, really trust what she says.
So she knows her stuff.
She does. So brilliant tips. So we've really enjoyed this episode and we hope that it inspires you to maybe treat yourself to a facial. And if not, just make some time, even if it's once a month, once every 6 weeks, to really pamper yourself, give yourself a nice facial massage and hopefully see the benefits. Know about any of the products we spoke about during the episode, head to outspokenbeauty.co.uk.
If you want to go and give us a stalk on the old Twitter, you can follow us at @outspokenbeauty.
And to see what happens behind the scenes and in our everyday beauty world, check out our Instagram @outspokenbeauty.
And if you like this episode, make sure you subscribe so you never have to miss an episode. And also tell all your friends.